Balcone's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat. Spirited conversations with interesting people, that's also the hardest thing to do during a pandemic. We have tried everything, and it has been a complete nightmare. If you do Zoom, you're relying on other people's Wi-Fi connection or camera quality, including your own. It's just been difficult. So I appreciate you guys being patient with us. We are not going anywhere. We are on track. In fact, today we are filming two back-to-back episodes, starting with Patrick McClellan and Dusty Rhodes. Dusty's been on the show many times. Patrick has his own podcast. And we have a few drinks, taste through a few cognacs. Comendon, for those of you who've been paying attention to HBS picks, we did a beautiful, stunning, cask-strength, 23-year, 11-month, and 2-week-old cognac. And we've talked about it on the show earlier this year, called Space Cowboy Rides Again. That's because it was picked by a guy who works at NASA named Randy Svetlik. The cognac was incredible. 490 bottles, massive barrel, about $90 with $10 going to Camp Hope here in Houston. It was a charity bottle thing. We knocked it out of the park. That cognac was so good. And you're talking about arguably one of the slowest moving categories. For us to move 490 bottles in about a week is just insanely unheard of. So Comendon makes incredible cognac. They've got some individual casks from out of state. I had their owner send me some of what's currently available in the U.S. just so we can taste it and bring some into the Houston area. They're not a sponsor. They didn't give me any money. They just gave us some things to taste. Some we didn't like, some we really liked, and all of them should be worth the money. So we will be bringing those in. We're also filming right after this an episode with good friend Quad Heineken. I think he was on the show once before. And Todd Grube. Todd Grube's back. We're going to actually be tasting, finally, our Amroot Oloroso Sherry single barrel for the show. This, I'll tell you right now, and I think you can say son of a bitch on the air, this son of a bitch is fantastic. Unbelievably surprised at how great it was. We knew it was going to be good. We didn't know it was going to be a sherry bomb of sweet, heavenly nectar. I'm super excited about this. So, Quad, Todd, next episode, we'll be tasting our Oloroso Sherry samples. This episode, we taste through cognac, talk about our picks, and I give them a sneak peek of one of the next bottles from Gregarious Grump. When we place that order, we haven't placed it yet. So without further ado, Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exact same standards of Scotch and has won many awards for what they're doing. We could not be a bigger fan of what Amroot does. So go out and get a bottle today. Without further ado, Patrick McClellan and Dusty Rhodes. Cheers. Well, welcome to the show, Pat. Welcome back, Dusty.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been a bizarre month. I mean, the last 3 weeks, we kind of talked a little bit about it off air, but we had two guests lined up that tested positive, and then our producer Jack was on vacation for 1 week, so it's just been like this whirlwind of trying to just freaking get in here and make things work.
We should welcome you back.
Yeah.
Well, the best way to do that is over a drink. So yeah. I brought a few things. I thought
a few.
I don't think you brought enough. So I'm a little upset by this.
So there is a dump glass in front of you, but we did a cognac. There's this brand called Comendon, which produces delicious cognac, and they source cognac from all these different places all over cognac. And we did a barrel, almost 2 weeks shy of 24 years old back in January. And he sent me some single cask samples that are currently here, not available in Texas. And I thought we could just taste through them. And if we like them, then we can say, hey, send us a few cases of this, send us a few cases of that.
Right.
We're not ordering the whole case. We are separately doing a new barrel with them, but these didn't get tasted. So I would love to walk through them with you.
Yeah, let's do it.
So first up, we've got a 2012 single cask, so fairly young, I would imagine.
It's the John Cusack movie.
I would imagine less than 8 years. And I know it's courtesy to pour the lady first.
That's okay.
But I'm progressive. All right, now you don't have to drink the whole thing, and you can dump it in the dump glass. I did pour a little heavy on Pat there.
God bless you.
But what have you guys been doing during this whole thing? I mean, it's the most bizarre of times.
Right? Yeah. Lamenting.
I did my first Zoom show because the Moth here, the Story Slam that I host, is nationwide, and they've been doing virtual story slams in each of the different markets that we do it. So we did. I hosted the one for all of Texas. So, but we had people that came from, like, since it's virtual, there were people from, like, out of, like, state as well that in it. It was interesting. It was also, like, kind of a technical
nightmare
wheelhouse, say. Yeah. Nightmare would be the PG word I could use to describe it. Yeah, just on my side. But it was interesting. It was still fun. I don't think it was much pressure as comedy because the storytelling crowd is a little bit more, supportive than a comedy crowd sometimes.
You don't have like the back and forth and the interacting Brandon, and stuff too, so you can the show still keeps its.
Yeah, for the most part though, but even hosting, it's nice to have that like.
It's very good.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. I'm marking the bottle already. So.
Yeah, that's good.
That's very good. And for I typically don't care for lower proof. Sometimes the mentality is cast strength's better. That's you eventually move past that and learn to appreciate lower proof stuff. But real, real low proof stuff has just been watered down too much.
Right.
That it's not as appealing. So
it's a waste of time.
Agreed. But this is fantastic.
It is good though. No, it is.
We have time for weak liquor.
Yeah, it might help. It might benefit us in this case because we're tasting through so many things today. And we're doing back-to-back shows, so Daddy needs to,
take his medicine.
To take his medicine and play it cool.
Yeah.
So, it's been stupid. I'm ready for things to get back. And for those who don't remember, Dusty's a teacher. And you guys
are
actually having it in person. Right?
We are not now because of Hidalgo when she pushed it back to September. So we will be out of classroom until at least September, which is now I've bought like some interesting things. Yeah, if you want to help teachers right now, reach out to someone you know that's a teacher and be like, what do you know to turn your house/apartment, like especially those younger teachers, like into a classroom? Because I'm buying like a whiteboard. I'm like, and I have to get like some sort of pedestal or standing desk because like my goal is just to kind of teach my students as if I think what people don't realize about teaching is your classroom is a tool for teaching. Like you use it.
Sure.
Like, you know, you're writing on boards or you're, you know, like you're moving around and like those sorts of things like are helpful to you. So to have that taken away from you, it's like taking, it'd be like taking all of Carrot Top's props away.
Sure. but keep the same exact level of comedy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That same high level.
Don't we try to build a studio quality replica of your actual room in your house?
You know what?
All the same signs up, the posters up.
The opposite, complete lower the quality, but still make it close enough that people know you're trying to mimic your.
I'll just make a diorama.
The uncanny valley version, yeah.
And have a little teacher in there, like a puppet.
Have one random kid working, just like, who is this kid?
Believe it or not, this is still on subject, but I'm not gay, but.
But go on.
Good caveat. Let
me finish. But I am utterly fascinated with Carrot Top's body.
Oh, like, it's so weird.
Do you follow him on social media?
No.
He wears on Instagram. He wears like little kids' booty shorts that are literally just above the root. Like it's they're very low riding.
He can rock them. He's killing it out there.
His body is this bizarre amalgam of. really, really cut and muscular, but the skin has just been ruined from years of abuse. And
yeah.
And he's just a fascinating...
His face is crazy to me.
Dude, everything he's ever filmed on Instagram, and you'll know what I'm talking about when you go there. He likes to film these shirtless photos or videos of him wearing these shorts that are really, really low-riding. And he's telling jokes, but it's distracting because
like,
there's a lot of
junk.
Process. There's
you're
a lot of process.
You're wearing my kid's underwear.
More like carrot bottom.
Oh, there you go. That's
he's straight. You know, he gets a bad rap. He's actually really funny.
Oh, no one's been able to build a career off a prop for longevity wise besides him and Dunham.
Yeah,
the props aren't great, but like he's not as gimmicky as I think that people make him out to be.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm a big Carrot Top fan.
Big fan.
Really, really
big fan.
In
fact,
that's my idol.
You can try that's the second bottle there.
Okay.
I'm really God. I forget how great cognac is.
Yeah.
We're all about the Pappy Van Winkles and bourbons nowadays, but
this is like it's a bottle of lean.
Yeah, Frank will be excited to see us talking about it. His Frenchman, based out of California, he handles the U.S. side of his brand for his family.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Even better.
I like the first one better.
What's this one?
This is
I don't listen apparently.
Petite Champagne, 2012. So it's also a fairly young cask. And
the color's super like gold.
I don't think it's as good as the first one in brand. If you want to try any of these.
Yeah, I don't like it as much as the first one. It's like a little, the first one was a little bit sweeter. But this one's this one actually tastes more watered down than the one before.
I don't know. I think this one has more.
Oh, it is? Okay. It is. Oh, look at me.
Look at you.
I think it has more of a bite to it because it doesn't taste good.
They say that women have better palates than men. Women tend to be a little bit.
Better brains, better pretty much everything.
They tend to be a little bit more gentler.
Just overall sense.
Better tan.
Yeah, yeah. Pink is not a tan. I thought pink was a tan.
It's a hue.
Same thing.
I read that Alabaster's back in men's health. So I don't know. We'll see. It's not good.
This is. It's still good. It's just not as good as the first one. So I'm definitely. I marked this one.
I like the aftertaste on this one. It's a good aftertaste. Mm.
So you did your. You guys are doing your. What is her name for what you?
Our Facebook residency.
Oh, yeah, we called it a residency.
It's more just Pat and I like getting bored at night, and we're like, hey, let's just jump on Facebook Live and see who wants to join us, and then like messaging other comics or people, and just being, okay, you want to jump on?
And sure. then they don't, and they let us down.
Sometimes it's better. Like, sometimes we play like weird games that we just make up in the moment. Games, you know, just like sit like drinking games.
We're just betting
like
on stuff.
Night. Yeah, just like betting on, like we did over under and just like we like name some sort of statistic. It's a fun game you can play with your friends.
There's actually a fantastic drinking game similar called What Are They Worth? And I'm sure this has been played before, but I invented it one drunken night at a local bar called Bard's 295 in Seabrook. I was with my brother.
You can only play it there.
Was with my brother-in-law. He's with his brother and a few friends. And we basically, you pick a celebrity, and it was a way to pay the tab, really, is what we were trying to do. You pick a celebrity, and you guess what they're worth. And if it's a two-person bet, you take the over-under. You give a little window in there. And then whoever's wrong buys the next round of drinks. Mm-hmm. And I got, of course, the further into it we go, the little bit more cockier I get.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so.
And I thought I had
like crawling into a hot tub with your clothes on, cocky.
Forgot about that.
Is that cocky though?
I forgot you were there for that. I had a lot
one of my favorite
tonight.
Chris Hart moments. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
Let's
put a pin in
no,
that.
No, we came out and somebody sent me a picture in the or maybe there was a group chat picture and I think that's when I came back down into the pool area. Because I was like, oh, I got to see this in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who has time to take off the clothes?
The flesh was out. Mm. This one's trying to change the subject so fast.
Okay.
What were we?
Okay, you were talking about
your game.
Oh, yeah. So I thought I had a what do you call it when you've got a sure thing, a win? Because I remember reading an article about how Jerry Seinfeld was worth $1 billion. And so...
You went all in.
I went. I was like, I don't know. What, I'm going to guess. $1 billion. But you forget that people's value fluctuates.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially when you get up to the billions, right? My buddy was like, my brother Sean was like, no way. And I was like, I bet you the whole tab. The whole tab for the rest of the night.
Oh, no. What's the deal?
And it was like $800 million.
What's the deal with you guys?
He took under.
See, I would have argued that. I'd have been like, well, that's the liquid part, but he probably has assets that equals over a billion. That's why it was reported.
Did you like really get the calculator out?
I'd be on different.
Whatever. Was it just whatever you Googled?
Whatever you Googled.
That's
yeah.
what, whatever
that's
you said. On,
I'd be on different websites.
For
I'd be
us,
like, well, here's
yeah.
celebrity
for
us, network.
It was like basically we would pull up an actor and just be like, how many movies did this person act in? And then we would just do the over under. And some of them were
much harder.
It was very difficult.
Yeah, and some of them were like a very surprising. Like sometimes you would think that this person, they've been in all the movies, and then it was like way under what you would think. And then there's some people who were like, I feel like
someone did Morgan Freeman. I'm sure
we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. I forget that one.
There was one that I was trying to think of it
it's
just
gotta
now.
Be 200.
There was somebody that like only did like a few movies, and they were all great, but they were like they didn't have the garbage picks. They didn't have like the
five
coming
movies.
Up when it was just all
yeah. But then you're surprised about those people who were like have like a bunch of small roles in a bunch of movies, and then only and those actors usually have more
right.
to their credit.
Yeah, they have to sustainability factor.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of I know like as a comic you're looking for those credits to, getting to build
mm-hmm.
your resume.
That's really good.
But there's some actors whose entire career they've been in everything, but you don't know their name.
Yeah, dude, you're like that's the guy from.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're that guy.
Guy is probably happy because one, he doesn't have TMZ following him around, and two, he's got a steady flow of checks. Coming
yeah,
in.
They're
exactly.
making a lot of money, and they're doing what they love.
You're the guy that no one.
I almost started
remembers.
A podcast just with my buddy very recently. That was we were gonna I don't remember what we were gonna call it. It was something clever, but we were gonna focus on one of those guys each episode and try to get him on and have like mm-hmm. trying to think of. Who'd be somebody that would be like
in a bunch of things?
All the Law and Order guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. What's that guy's name from Law and Order? The sharp faced. Oh my God, he's in everything.
All of these guys are in everything. Nobody knows their names.
Yeah, that's how you know you've made it.
But you know, it's like, oh, this guy plays the general and everything. Like the guy that was on.
That's what I always
Aaron on 24.
It's like the guy that's in every war movie ever made.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay, Christopher Maloney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's great.
So he's in. I'm willing to bet at least 100 things in the past. Let's see here.
Yeah, he's well traveled.
I saw him in something recently. Oh, he's in the Superman movie, Man of Steel. Okay, yeah. So filmography, only 94 things. Take that back. 94
yeah.
things.
Yeah, he's like
that's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot.
But have you tried this third one yet?
This is good.
I like this one too.
I like this one. Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one too.
It's bold.
Bold, he says. okay, Bump and Prove, Grand Champagne, 2007. So a little older. These are all fairly young. I would imagine they're probably inexpensive.
They're so precocious.
Grape candy.
Full of wonderment.
Grape brandy.
Yeah, all of these are really good. Thank you.
Yeah, that one's.
So
that one's good.
Yeah, I'm not sure what my daughter, what their school's doing yet. I think.
So your daughters are
Deer Park
senior.
No, Juliet. Is starting her freshman year. Joey is starting her sophomore year.
Okay, imagine this being your first. Oh my gosh, one first year in high school ends that way. The other one starts all weird. See, I guess like my big thing is we started off asynchronously during the pandemic. Like,
what does that word mean?
Good. I'm glad you asked.
You know, this is the teacher equivalent of name dropping.
Yeah, we're all sick of it.
Aren't you an English teacher?
Just yes,
you're an English teacher.
Just down the word of the day. It's like, okay,
you legit threw that in there.
No, but it's true. No, this is actually this has become a common like jargon, I guess, now in education is like asynchronous is basically probably how your daughters ended the school year, which is their teachers would post something when they got around to it, they did it, and then they turned it in within like a deadline. Like they didn't have to be in real time.
Like at your pace, learning college degrees.
Yes. Okay. Sort of that. Yes. So that's how we did it before everything ended. But that's like kind of, I think, forgetting that like kids are kids. And like I'd rather have at least once or twice or three times, because I teach English, where they're sitting in a Zoom chat with me where I'm talking and then they're working. And if they have a question, they can raise their hand just like I would in class.
Actively, right.
Yeah, like we're all together. Even if it's like I would even do like 30 minutes with fewer students than just like, even if it was like an hour, which is how long I'm usually with them, like an hour to an hour and a half. But I would split up my time and do the same thing.
Is that not encouraged? I feel like that's school. You have the exact same thing. Why wouldn't you utilize that?
But like coming back, I hope that that's something that they do, because with asynchronous, what happened is that students would, so like I give you an assignment, and then, I mean, granted, every district's trying to figure stuff out. So as much as I was frustrated with things that happen at the end of the year, I'm not going to like make my district, like I don't think my district is.
Here's the problem with this. Just a little side note.
No, yeah.
This is just like raising kids, because you only get one try.
Yeah.
And if you've screw it up, then they're strippers at age 18 or whatever.
If that's what they want to do, that's fine.
And if that's what they want to do, that's fine.
Yeah.
But they're with this on, everyone's trying to augment and using big words.
Yeah.
Ubiquitously.
Yeah. Keep going.
I love the show's for both.
Let's write these on our word wall.
So they're all trying to just adapt to what's going on. But if we could find out years from now, like whenever they start college, this was the wrong way to do it completely.
Yeah.
Or it was the best way.
I think that it's just also just expecting students to like be, it's like, well, they're about to go to college, and it's like, yeah, but we're kind of ushering them in. Like that's what school is. And so I think what would happen is a lot of kids would wait until like everything wasn't due officially until like Sunday night. So then I'd get all like they turn in all their assignments at like midnight. And the problem with that is like the integrity of the assignment goes down, because a kid, not only are you getting like kind of like half-assed work, but it's like, I would
rushed.
Say half-assed because it's rushed and they might not be giving their whole effort. And that's like, and that's just them not knowing, because it's just expecting to know how to like throw this kid in the wild and be like, hey, learn time management.
You stupid kid.
Yeah, exactly. And so
time management's good.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like if there's a little bit of structure where it's like, okay, well, 2 or 3 days a week, you will be expected to sit on a Zoom chat with me, just like I'm expected to do at my job. So it's not like it's out of that. Like if I had like
that should be required.
I think that's easier to ask like a high school student to do, harder at when students get younger. But
sure.
I know so many, like my friend Alex sent me.
How are elementary school kids doing this?
His mom sent me his mom's
playing Foursquare in their driveway.
No, his mom does like almost a three time a day Zoom chat with her kids, which like when they put it on there, I will say it was equal parts adorable, terrifying, and like fun, because it's just like all of these kids in a Zoom chat and they're just like, Miss Middleton, you're like interrupting, they're like, look at my phone, you know, and she's like, that's a great phone, like Miss Middleton, and I didn't turn in my library book. She's like, you can bring up, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Like, trying to manage all of them.
Yeah. And some of them are just like making faces in the camera, you know?
That's hilarious.
He sent me a video of it and I almost died. But she has to like mute them all when she reads to them. But I'm like, if you can get a group of kindergartners to do this for 30 minutes,
sure,
I should be able to get a group of 17-year-olds.
Well, they need the structure.
So that's kind of like, I think the debate right now is like, how do we go back? And I think that every teacher feels differently. And like a lot of what, like there was something that I read today that was like a post about like when the 1918 pandemic happened, people don't talk about how the kids in the coming years after that did suffer educationally and academically.
Well, everyone did.
But we got Babe Ruth, and we were all excited about Babe Ruth.
Yeah, but like we all did. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's just like, this is like, it's a reality that we're gonna have to face, because it's like no one, and even then it was even more difficult.
Right.
But I think that there are ways.
The iPads back then were not as good as
the reception. There wasn't Wi-Fi. They were holding up everything. But I think like that's kind of like finding the balance between like holding kids to an expectation, because I really like this is difficult for them, but it's also difficult on the teaching side too. And so I think it's sort of like you have to reach some sort of happy medium where it's like, I don't think if I was going to ask a kid to come into a building for 7 hours a day, I don't think it's too much to them to ask to be listening to teachers on their computer for maybe 3 or 4 hours that day.
No, it's not.
I don't think that I'm asking too much.
You're not. And you know, and kids
are
super.
And I'm not saying every teacher agrees with me. Like, and that's the thing too, is this has really caused like an interesting divide. But I also think that there's another article that I read that I think is really good. And I think It was about like rebranding teachers and I believe my
as cool you put your backwards hat.
Well, that's the problem. It's like, and it was written
What's
by
up, kids?
And I'm pretty sure it was written
grades
by
up,
a
drugs
woman
down.
That I teach with. Her name's Leanne Rayburn. She I think she wrote it, and it was about like how in society we have like the two looks at a teacher. It's either the badass that like puts a leather jacket on and ends like racial discrimination and what, all
Michelle Pfeiffer
of, like, and yeah, just ends okay. like yeah, exactly like
Robin let's Williams.
Just, yeah, let's just end
everything.
Like
with
yeah,
30-year-old Emilio
racism with a leather jacket and turning our chair back.
Raul, yeah,
but the
Raul.
Other spectrum
Raul.
Of that is just some lazy, you know, idiot that puts their feet up on a desk and doesn't do anything. And that's who we
Cameron
know.
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
I saw that one. That's
exactly.
A good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she was hot chicks. She's
yeah. a bad teacher, apparently.
You're
I don't know.
Robin Williams. Or you're, yeah. But it's like those, that's the spectrum. And there's nothing in between.
What about the coach that kind of teaches, but he also doesn't care?
So it's like, yeah. But it's like, so. It's
but you
hard,
can see his junk and
right,
his shorts.
Exactly.
Always wearing
so
yeah.
it's hard, like, yeah. Or you're the female teacher that's sleeping with our students. So it's hard to just Ugh. Be like, because it's like, we're either expected to be this miracle worker, which is so like self serving. Like, I hate it when teachers are like, I'm going to go change people's lives. I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Like, I'm not going to say that I don't think that might happen. That's not my end goal. My end goal is to teach a kid how to read and write better. That's
pretty
it.
Sure they
sure.
don't.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
I mean?
That having that like
yeah.
saying that
if you can be cool and get along with your kids, that's awesome. And teach them at the same
sounds
time.
Sounds like a meddler to
that's
me.
That's the goal.
Like, I'm not a normal dad. I'm a cool dad.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Call
right.
me Chris, kids.
Tell my kids to call me K-Dog. Yeah.
My kids this year made up the name D-Row for me because
Ooh, I
they
like
thought it.
It
was so cool. And then I lost a bet to them on
you're
how
gambling
high.
With these kids? Well, you're I, teaching them, finally
yeah,
teach
exactly.
them a teacher that
I'm like, if this is your average,
really
financial
like,
planning.
I was like, there's no way you guys are going to get this average on the first, like their first like unit exam or something. Like, oh, we could totally do that. I'm like, you're not going to do it. And they did. And they were just like, all right, D-Row, looks like you were wrong. And I was like,
just
oh.
goading them. I like that.
Oh, these are so great. Mm-hmm. I have never said, this is the most, I get accused.
You can send whatever he doesn't want to my apartment.
I get accused of looking like a hipster, and when I'm in a comedy club, that's the thing that gets like poked fun of when they do crowd work. You know, the plaid shirt, the red
oh,
beard,
yeah.
the glasses.
You look like a dad.
I think that's unfair.
I am the least hipster guy ever, even though I have the exact same shirt you have in my closet. And
great taste.
That's actually how I usually tell people about you before they meet you. What's he like? I'm like, he's like the least hipster dad you'd ever meet.
He's the least hipster. And I've been growing my mustache out during this quarantine, and like yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You twisted it up.
I saw your kid that was like
this. You're like hipster adjacent.
He
you're right, you're close.
She did.
Story, or her, yeah.
So my 4-year-old Nora was like, she's like, are you gonna wear that in public? And I was like, how do you know what public is?
Yeah, exactly.
And she's
cut to the core.
She'll be 5 this month. She'll be 5 this month. But she or next month, August. She I was like,
was she
well,
just
first of all, yes, I am gonna wear this in public.
Was she repeating it yeah. or was it actual like
no,
where
no.
Where
if you watch the video,
a real
it's very,
dig, like,
if you watch
really...
the video, it's very natural that she just like, she's like really figuring it out in her head. Like she's looking at him
yeah.
and she's like,
oh, that's
you're
beautiful.
You're going to go out like that?
That's
in public? Like,
beautiful.
No. It all like comes from her
I
own
cognition.
I put
wax on.
Yeah.
I had it up and she looked at me and she's like, are you going to wear that in public? And she's I was like, what's wrong with that? And she's like, I don't like it. And
yeah, that's
it's
right.
very kid's honesty, you know?
I love. There's nothing better than a child's
no,
honesty.
Because
they're just like,
she also doesn't know fashion, okay? She still thinks pink, like all shades of pink go together.
Right.
Whatever.
Well,
and all those mustaches are villains in her movies.
But also you
so
can't see it under my mask, so
yeah.
let me wear my...
It's usually
wear
a
my.
Villain in a
like
hot air
idea
balloon.
Of a mask, and you just see like the little parts of the mustache sticking out, and you're like, oh, that guy gets it.
Show what you can. This
I,
one this
I really
one is
love
very
this.
Good.
This
love,
is great.
I
all these have been wonderful.
Big fan of this one. This little Bump and Proof, too.
This one might be my favorite.
Little Bump and Proof. It's also the oldest, 2004,
Ooh.
So 16
yeah.
years old.
Good,
because
I don't like the young ones.
Awesome.
Wow.
All right.
I said
all right,
I don't
Chris
like
D'Elia.
I said I don't like the young ones.
All right, D'Elia.
Okay, you only don't say that again.
So I also brought
just want to reiterate that I do not like
on a side note, we were supposed to go to Scotland August 1st to the 8th, but freaking
yeah, you're blocked out now.
Blocked out. We're not allowed
yeah.
to go there.
Used to be US passport was the gold standard. Now it's the gold standard of keeping you at home.
So I've got a we're gonna go visit this distillery and they've got some old casks. I've got a bottle of 1988 30-year-old Fettercairn. So 30-year-old single malt scotch.
So
perfect for a little little tipple.
There was that Zac Efron show on Netflix. There is a water sommelier
you
on there.
You mean the homewrecker Zac Efron? No one can watch him and his current shape.
He's adorable. We love him.
Isn't he the guy from that movie that I don't like?
Yeah, High School Musical.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You mean the movie that no one likes?
No, I was thinking of Garden State.
No, that's Zach Braff.
Do you know what Zac Efron looks like?
Yeah, my students have them all over their binders.
He's a very hunky man.
Yeah, he's a teen bop, Tiger Beat kind of guy.
You would think, yeah. Right? So my wife and I are watching the show. He's a handsome fella, and I was like, I wonder how old he is. I looked it up. He's a month younger than I am. We're the same age.
Yeah.
We're the same exact age. And I was like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
If I just stop.
Don't look up people's age because it will upset you.
Put down the bottle and pick up a weight or something. Like, I thought I'm a brawny fella. And look at pardon my language, Zac Efron. And it's like, I go, oh, we're the same age. My wife goes, yeah, he's hot. I was like, what does that have to do? I just said we're the same age. What does that have to do with his attraction?
They had that article.
Let's watch something with Scarlett Johansson.
They had that article that came out that people were freaking out about his dad bod, and he just didn't shave his chest.
I was like, when Leo had a dad bod, I was like,
he still had a six pack and hot. Ripped. He wasn't. That's not a dad bod.
It wasn't a dad bod at all.
He just had chest hair and a beard. Like he was just a little.
Zac Efron's dad bod was what people who don't know what dad bods look like 100%. Assume that
right.
They look like.
They don't appreciate a good as a dad.
A dad has never looked like that.
Yeah. As a dad bod,
nothing I
want
to see less on a dude than abs.
No. You can't respect anybody that tries hard. Like that's ridiculous.
As a dad bod official. Aficionado.
Have you watched the show at all?
I liked it.
What show is it?
It's called Down to Earth. It's on Netflix.
I like his vegan friend is who I like.
It's fantastic. It's a great show where they basically travel the world and kind of experience a few things. And
I loved it Without Reservations. It's a great show.
It is pretty
suicide,
much just they go around. Zach just goes around learning stuff.
Touch,
is basically what it is.
Just a touch less suicide.
Less suicide. Andy Kindler had that great joke where he's like, "Can you please stop showing reruns of Without Reservation? I know how the show ends."
Andy Kindler's the best.
He's my favorite comic. I love him. Zaha and I will go back and forth just messaging each other Andy Kindler jokes. He's so funny. And he just released a new album. Highly recommend it if you have not checked it out. It's so good.
The show's great. The only problem is he can't stop throwing in quotes from kids' movies. The entire movie, every episode, they're like, oh, we're in Brazil. They were in Brazil during one of the times in which California was on fire.
Yeah.
And the co-host, he lost everything. While they were filming, his house burned down in one California wildfires. Dude. And he was like, well, it's already gone, so let's just finish filming. And then they go.
That guy rules.
That's like when I used to
that
baby.
Guy's
I used
like,
to
that guy's
babysit.
The coolest
I used
guy.
To, I used to dog sit for my sister and her husband, and like they would tell us like if any of the dogs die while we're on vacation, because they would go on like 2-3 week
just
vacations.
Just don't tell us.
They go, don't tell us. And I was always like, they're gonna die.
Where's Muffin?
Why like, they're you just hide? Gonna, they're gonna no, they were like, we'd rather not know. It's not gonna be any different. When we get.
We
back
do the
home.
Same thing when our kids like we go to.
You don't say anything. They get back. They're just like, where's our dog?
We go to France, you know, we're like, hey, listen.
You know, if they die, just enjoy our trip.
They're not coming back.
I wish the Home Alone parents would have had that kind of sentiment, you know?
We've got four. We don't need all four.
Relax. Kevin McAllister's fine. Yeah, enjoy your trip.
I'm going to get canceled for that.
Okay. And some comments. No, but you were saying, so they go, he makes a lot of references to kids' movies.
Yeah, he'll do quotes of I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but there was like Beauty and the Beast quote, or like there was like quotes from like kids' movies.
Yeah.
I do that. I'm just like, yeah, a tale as old as time.
not in a creepy way, but he'll just throw lines in that are very much references to movies, and you're like, but he won't stop. He'll keep doing it until you're like, all right, we get it.
Oh, it's like he beats it over
the
head.
Babysitter's Club. Like, we get it.
he breaks the fourth wall.
But you know what?
Nobody
doesn't quote enough. Adventures in Babysitting. Great movie.
Is it?
That's the one with Jonah Hill?
No.
That was the original one.
That's from, the 80s. Elizabeth Shue?
Elizabeth Shue. Yeah. Shout out to Elizabeth Shue. She killed the 80s.
Yeah. Okay, I want to try. Oh, I haven't tried any of the You Guys' Four Roses.
All right,
picks.
So these are actually sister barrels.
I do
want
to try the rums, but I want to try.
These Four Roses are sister barrels. They're both OESQs. They're both 1 year apart. This is 9 years.
Oh,
nine
cute.
Months.
Irish twins.
This is 10 years, 11 months.
That's a good joke, everybody.
Yep, Irish twins. They both
let the record show that was a good joke.
they both have me on the bottle, so take that narcissism for what it is.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're self-aware.
If you didn't do that, then what are you even doing?
But they're.
I'm building a brand.
I'm building a brand.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So my mom, it's actually a shout out to my mom.
Big fan?
Not a Rembrandt, a Rockwell.
Rockwell.
Yeah. My mom was a huge Rockwell Saturday evening post.
This was the last art exhibit I went to. I literally went to the MFA the day before the museum closed. It was like, because we got let off because of COVID. So I went down to the MFA because I hadn't seen...
They had a Rockwell exhibit?
Rockwell, yeah. And it was an amazing exhibit. It wasn't just like his art. It was also like the history of like why his art the way it was. It was a beautifully done exhibit.
I should market that.
It was so well done. But I literally went. I didn't even know this. I went and I was just like, I want to see it before it closes. And I spent like, I went through it like three times just because I was like, I love him. I
think. All right, we get it. You were at the museum.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
I love it. But what's crazy is I posted like a picture on Instagram that I had been there. And then my friend who works at the MFA was like, I'm glad you got to go. We're closing officially tomorrow.
Oh, dang.
And that was the exhibit.
We're closing. Dusty, you want any of this Norman Rockwell stuff?
I
want
to go to his museum.
His
stuff is so cool.
That Americana.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
Oh, is he alive?
No, but like his art.
I don't think so.
His art itself is just very.
He's alive in his
Andy
art.
Andy Huggins, one of my favorite Houston comedians. We talk often about how funny we think he is.
Sure.
But just in his draw, his like art alone is just hilarious because he's just very funny.
His style of drawing is the exact same way my mother and grandfather doodle.
Mm.
And so growing up, I can't think of Norman Rockwell and see his work and not think of my family, the Americana style. That's so great.
Cool.
So the first barrel we did was Good Golly Miss Molly after my wife.
Good Golly Miss Molly.
This one was specifically a Rockwell shout out to
my mom.
This is one of my beautiful.
This is one of my favorites.
And this next one had nothing to do with either. So
nice. It's so funny that you said doodle. So one of the stories I got reminded of over COVID, because one of my former students texted me and said, "Hey kids, Miss Rhodes." He was like, "Hey Miss Rhodes, kids still call me this." Or like everyone's. So I had this kid in my class I loved, but he would draw all the time, which I don't care if kids are drawing while I'm talking.
Sure.
Like I'm ADHD, I get it. But he'd always draw these like, you know, like sort of like gangster, like the like graffiti or like old English stuff. One time in class, he was like drawing, and I was giving instructions for what they had to do the whole day. And I looked down, he was like really like intense drawing, and I like would just wanted to make sure he was like paying attention, so I just tapped him, and I just like tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, "Hey, you getting this, doodles?" And the whole guy's doodles.
And you ruined his life. And now he's very depressed. It's not good.
Started calling him doodles because it was so funny. Because right after I said that, I was like, you know, when I was like
you
getting his doodles,
you got to be careful with that.
And I looked at him, and both of us knew that I was. And I was just like, "I'm sorry."
Yeah,
you got to be careful.
And it became like a funny thing.
How could you do that?
But it was like one of his
to
like
a poor
one
teenager.
Of his friends. Doodles. I was like,
"Oh, I would just be like, yeah, okay."
I ruined that kid's life for at least.
My life's already hell. I'm a teenager, and here we go. And now my teacher's bestowing this upon me.
All
right, yeah, great.
I just thought it was so funny because of what he chose to draw. Like, if it was like anime, I'd feel less bad. But it was because he was like,
like a very machismo thug. You know,
doodles cuts through. It didn't matter what he was doing. That goes right. That just goes right into
the
soul.
Mind. I was like, "Doodles," and then all the kids called.
It's like calling
doodles.
Someone Buttercup.
Yeah, it's the perfect.
It's like the opposite of you accidentally calling the teacher mom. Like
it is.
What's up, doodles? Like, oh, we're calling.
Oh,
you that
it's
forever.
What he's doing, and it's also somewhat offensive. Oh, it's very good.
I haven't had a Four Roses in a minute.
Good.
I haven't had a Four Roses in a minute. Yeah, so this one.
Four Roses is my go-to. That's my favorite every day.
Right after the Porta Nova, I'm not getting a lot of tobacco on this, but these two Four Roses were both known to be heavy in tobacco, and if you like cigars, I'm a huge cigar fan.
Oh, so it's good to drink back-to-back.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well,
as a comparison, because they're sister barrels. They were literally right next to each other, and one was just pulled a year earlier. Oh, yeah. Bring me that dumb glass.
Yeah, that's
really good.
That is delicious.
I haven't had good
bourbon in a minute.
I do want to try these rums, though.
What else do you want to try, Dusty?
All right, we got time for these rums.
I love rum.
I'm going to make this pour very fast since you want to try both.
Thank you.
And then we can do a rum. I don't know that we'll have time for all the
rums. All right, word. That's good.
So you want to try my rums?
Ooh, or do we want to try one of the samples?
Or do we want to try one of the samples?
Ooh.
Because the samples get weird. We get real funky on this.
Let's get weird.
Okay. Worthy Park. That's Belize. That is Hampton. All right, this one's very, very...
That looks like urine.
Yeah. The best urine.
When
you've
I hope
tasted.
I
want to taste the best urine I've ever.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a negative thing. I was actually wanting to. I was picking that one. That's the one I wanted.
There's enough in here for you both to try this.
I'm not gonna dump out on your.
Well, it's okay. I mean,
no. Do you try it?
No, I've had it. That's why it's down to this.
Okay.
But there's enough there for you two to split that, and we'll pour it. And it's Hampton, so they use a muck pit. Are you familiar with muck pits?
Mm-hmm. Wait, I don't know completely, but let me guess, and if I'm right.
Okay.
Tell me how wrong I'm in. This is the teacher in me.
Check
my understanding.
All right.
They dig like a...
Wait, for this assignment, you're required to use 3 3-syllable words within your explanation.
And also cite your sources.
APA style.
Yeah, APA.
I might not do any of that.
Actually, you know, we're going to... Bedford Handbook.
They dig a pit, and then they put like... Is it like the sugars or the... Like,
molasses
or whatever into it, and then they let like...
Molasses,
there we go. And then they let the... Natural.
Boo.
Natural. Okay. Hey, you said 3.
Hey, watch it, doodles. It
didn't work. But they let everything like just get in it.
The ambient yeast.
Yeah. Like
the wild yeast.
That
ambient yeast is what it's called?
Now that I'm actually,
yeast in the air.
And what's funny is now that I'm actually saying this, I think you're the person that has told me that.
Yeah. I'm sure I've told you this.
Yeah, but they let that like just happen.
Ferment and turn the sugars into alcohols.
Right.
And then, so they make a sugary liquid, they throw it into a muck pit, it collects wild yeast from the air.
Does not sound sanitary at all.
It's not very sanitary, but here's the glory.
Sounds like a risk of reward.
Distillation is purification. So you could take...
There's actually
a distillery in Louisville called Copper and Kings, who they've been taking the spit, everyone's dump glasses, and pouring into a barrel.
This is what you told me.
And then they're going to distill it. And it's people's spit, but if you distill it, you boil out any infirmity, right?
That's so smart. I like it.
The muck pits are very... There's
muck pit, you want
to
try it?
There's dead bugs that go to the molasses.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like flies,
this has extra wasps,
not vegetarian.
Some murder hornets.
But they went there naturally, so I feel like you didn't, like, you know...
Mm-mm. Yeah, at least their life means something. It's going to something,
also,
you know?
I would kill a bug if it was in my apartment, so sometimes I feel less bad.
Sometimes I get sad when I kill a bug, and other times I don't care.
So this is a Jamaican rum from Hampton.
Oh, it's...
Where's that bottle at?
That's so weird, but good.
So weird and good.
It is. It's really weird, but it doesn't taste bad weird.
The smell...
It's really off-putting.
The smell
is
familiar,
amazing,
though. I don't know.
Like Tim Dillon's comedy. It's a 19-year-old
got
Hampton.
Him.
Got him. 120 proof Hampton. It's very juicy, fruity, very, very bubblegum on the palate.
Yeah, that is it.
And it's very right near the beach.
And then on the back end, it's got kind of a savory note on it. It reminds me of, someone said bubblegum pizza, and so I made a post about it because it was like this
That's
juicy,
exactly
fruit
what it is.
And savory on the back. And it's delicious, and it's 19-year-old Hampton, and
that is good.
It's weird how the profile
and good.
That's how it switches from that. How it just like changes. It's not
super
like
sweet and juicy up front.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 120 proof, cash strength. Oh, we're gonna buy a couple barrels of that. That was fantastic.
That's very good.
Oh man, we've tasted through so much today. Listen, I appreciate you guys coming.
Thanks for having us.
Plug your various plugs that you'd like to mention. I know you're not doing stand-up comedy right now in person.
Yeah,
but
follow me though. You can follow me on Instagram at Lady Apron. Friend me on Facebook. That's where I give a lot of my updates. And you can also just see Pat and I randomly go online and maybe join a Quiplash game with us.
Yeah, or we might not let you in it. We might.
Make you watch.
Yeah, make you watch. If you like Astros baseball, I have a Astros podcast, Lima Time. You can listen to that. And if you don't like Astros baseball, well then, I was going to say something.
What are your
thoughts
on Verlander's...
He's out for the year.
He's done. He's done for 60 games plus the... Yeah.
Well, he's...
If we even make it through baseball...
He's done. Well, yeah, that's...
Didn't he even go out of his way to tweet and say, like, hey, there's been reports of me being out.
He did. I'm not out for the season.
There was something... He worded it a little bit. He's done. He's done, and he's probably won't pitch for the Astros again.
Really?
His contract's up. So he's 38, and if he's getting Tommy John surgery,
Yeah.
He might not pitch another game.
Astros.
So that's a great way to end the show.
Yeah,
goodbye,
all right.
Justin Verlander. Goodbye, Window and the Astros. We're going to lose. It's bad. COVID's out there. It's terrible.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Balcones' first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together.
blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.